Hello and welcome to Ears for Dragon, an Eragon reread podcast. I'm your host, Charlie.
I'm Nick.
I'm Sian.
And I'm on summary today. So this week we read The Clouds of War, Nargazvog, and A Witch's Brew. So we're coming up to the close to the end of the book, which is pretty exciting. So in Clouds of War, Eragon moves to take control of Duvrangargata on Nasawada's command and finds himself having to reason with their current leader, Triana. Eventually, he navigates the change in leadership and comes to agreement with her as he tests the group on their ability and sets them on various tasks before moving through the camp. Very quick wee chapter, that one, as we move on to Nargazvog. Eragon arrives at Nasawada's pavilion just as a messenger does, bringing the news that some 100 Khal have mastered the army's border, the good guys one. Strangely, they are flying a white flag. Those gathered, Eragon included, are aghast at the idea of parleying with the monsters, but Nasawada agrees, much to Eragon's dismay. 4 Khal, led by one named Nargazvog, meet with Nasawada and pledge their people's assistance after a long conversation, provided that the Varden's troops remain peaceful and that the Urgal are able to enact their revenge on Galbatorix. This proves a challenge, as the Urgals receive abuse from all sides as they move through the camp at Eragon's side. In Witch's Brew, as he is sitting kind of taking watch with the Urgals, unable to overcome his own prejudice but forced to comply with Nasawada's demands, Eragon demands access to the Urgals' minds, which he's granted. Much to his dismay, again, he finds that they are, in fact, people with complex lives and cultures. He tries to get over his racism but can't quite make it the whole way, as Oryk stands by during Eragon's time keeping watch with the Urgals, displaying just as much, if not more, quote-unquote, discomfort with their presence as Eragon. As they are all kind of milling around uncomfortably, Angela arrives back over the battlements from a trip behind enemy lines, and it quickly becomes clear what her mission was as the agonized wails of poisoned soldiers drift over no man's land. This is the cost, Eragon reasons, of the Empire's war.
Ooh.
It's finally people coming to Eragon instead of him visiting
instead of
everywhere.
Him flying over and being like, do you guys need something from me, please?
Yes.
Yeah, there's not a lot going on in Clouds of War, I don't think, other than him just kind of going, wow, your magic users suck badly, and then leaving.
We always knew the Duvrangargata magicians were mid at best.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is Eragon realizing how much better he is at magic, and them all squabbling over, like, we can help, promise, we can be better,
we can
learn.
We can heal a broken arm. It is kind of interesting, like, obviously Triana is really resistant to it, because mm-hmm. this is the only power that she has, and she's done really well for herself in this position, but mostly what I found the most interesting with this group is, like, he chats with them a little bit, and he, like, learns how they learnt magic, and most of it is, like, hidden mm-hmm. in, like, a shed out back.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I was really... What I was shocked by that was that he said only a few of them had proper apprentices.
Mm.
Apprenticeships. And the fact that any of them had apprenticeships
right.
was surprising to me.
Like, is there some academy for magicians that we just, like, have never heard about or something like that? It's just, it seems so, like, far from the forefront of most
yeah.
people's minds.
Well, I mean, it must have been apprenticeships in the same manner of, like, a random uncle or whatever, but mm-hmm. he actually teaches you for real instead of a couple of words.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the fact that any of them had something that could be considered an apprenticeship
yeah,
is surprising.
Yeah, considered training, yes. Especially, like, under this. Because, like, it also mentions that they're trying to keep out of Galbatorix's, like... vision.
Yeah, like if they're learning magic, then it's basically treason and they can just be killed.
Yeah.
Or just picked up and being like, you are. Because they have like magicians on the other side.
Yeah.
Court
yeah.
magicians.
Yeah.
But evil.
Evil. And they had to have gotten them from somewhere. Like, I actually wouldn't put it past them to have like a magician breeding scheme, but.
Yeah,
we don't know if it's hereditary.
Yeah, exactly.
Might not work.
It'd be horrific if it was like. Properly hereditary.
they make mention of he's trying to find them, and they say that Triana's tent is their unofficial headquarters. It's like, this is an organization that really deserves an actual headquarters.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like your only magic users, your only magicians. It's like, I get that they were supposed to be like an underground kind of organization, before this war, mm-hmm. but at this point you're in, like, you are in all-out war with these people.
They're like a proper unit now.
Yeah, and arguably one of the more important, the most important units.
Yeah, you can't give them a bigger tent.
Yeah, and
like it's just Triana's tent. Presumably just the one person. Like, unless she's big. Really rich and brought her own big one. Like, it's...
It's not exactly a pavilion.
It's not a pavilion. It is, but there's many of them.
Okay, it is a black. Hold on, let's see if it describes it at all.
It's black.
Size wise, it is black. It is a black tent. It's hidden behind a spur of rock. Cool. Okay, yeah, it seems like it's just the tent she is staying in.
Yeah, like.
And everyone's hanging out in there.
I feel like maybe it's the size of the war planning tents where there's like a big table in the middle.
Yeah, I mean, you'd hope so, right?
But even still, it's not very big. For, I don't know, I'm guessing like 20 people.
Mm.
They should have
Do we ever get the numbers of how many magicians are in Durangagada?
Like, there's like a scat, there's like a, what, a cluster?
Yeah.
A clustered group?
Yeah, I don't know, I feel like we've had a vague number before, but I'm not confident.
I don't think it's higher than like 30.
No, I don't think it is, but I'm not confident I'm putting a number to it.
It is so I sad that these guys are like such an afterthought.
Mm.
Right?
Just as part of the Varden in general.
I think it's... maybe a lot to do with Nasawada's distrust of magic in general. Like, she is... Yeah. I think...
It's filling her coffers, but she hates
She's so mad about it. Yeah, I think, like, a different leader might have treated this differently. Like, Ajahad was obviously not uplifting them either, but...
No.
Where does somebody get a distrust of magic like that from? Probably their parents.
Oh, probably the twins.
Oh, also probably
yeah. the twins being the like super evil.
I think that they had a bigger place with the twins advocating for them.
Yeah, they just haven't got like... Because the twins were on councils and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Like yeah, like the twins were bad and evil or whatever, but they were great advocates for the
yeah.
group.
They really helped to secure funding. Speaking of advocates, there's this little section where... Triana is like kind of railing against having her position taken away from her, and she gives Aragorn this incredible like cover letter. And she's like, ever since the twins died, I led Durangagada under my guidance. They've provided the means to fund the Vardavan's war effort, ferreted out the Black Hand, Galbatorix and Equidrix, blah, 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 as well as performing innumerable other services. I do not boast when I say these are no mean accomplishments. I just love her, like, la, 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 and I'm so good at this, and this, and this, and this, and this is why you should keep me on in this job.
You're not lying on your resume, you're just embellishing. It's okay.
That's not even... She did all those
things. She did all those things.
A new moral law is awesome,
like,
sure.
Very interesting... That Aragorn and Saphira both, like, just really hate her and think that she is, quote, placing her own desires before the good of many, unquote. But, like...
Her desire to, like, have a...
Like, what has she done?
Yeah.
Like, a cohesive and well-led group of... Like, nobody else in this even has a name. Do you see where this is going, bro?
It's just kind of like, well, what good do you mean? The fact that she doesn't want to get fired?
Yeah.
She's been doing a good job, and you're like, Nasawada says hit the road.
Yeah, Nasawada says
I'm
bigger
very unpolitic.
Aragorn has a moment where he's trying to direct the other magicians. He's like, oh, this is really hard. I think I'll leave it to Shriana.
Like, yeah, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll leave it with her.
He just walks in like, I'm the leader of Durangagada now. I command you. You must follow my orders. And then just kind of like they start asking anything. And he's like, wait, but I don't want to do the day-to-day leading.
They start asking him and he's like, my orders are ask Shriana.
My orders are Shriana is my lieutenant. And it's like, yeah, she was doing a pretty good job of it.
She is.
Being very mean in their heads to each other about her.
Well, just like, and it's just...
Just, you know, there was the incident with the snake, I guess, but like...
Sure.
You can't still be holding on to that, you know?
You know.
Also, like...
And he's like, oh, you offered me this leadership position before. What's the problem now? And it's like, well, they didn't have a leader then, and now she's the leader.
Yeah.
So it's quite different.
And he's, I don't know, they're being so dogged to everybody, but it's mostly on account of the fact that they don't all have, like, omniscient mind-reading superpowers. And he's like, ooh, you guys suck at magic. I'm like, brother!
Yeah, this
it's
is...
like, you're the one percenter of magicians
you're
right
the 0.1% of magicians.
This is
Less.
One, I didn't write it every single time, but I had a variety of notes this like, episode that began with enlightened Aragorn.
He drops it for a second, though.
He loses it for a bit, but he spends a lot of time being enlightened Aragorn, who's unable to conceive of petty things like not wanting to lose your job or be punished for being good at the thing you've been asked to do.
Yeah, he's talking elvishly a lot, except when they're like, what are you gonna do with us, haha? Like, how do you plan to literally employ us? Mm-hmm. And he's like, my plan's simple. The lot of you will join mines and search for enemy spellcasters. Like, okay. Like, the tonal dissonance between how he's talking is so fun.
He's talking about all this stuff, and then he's like, okay, my whole plan is you find magician, I explode their brain, kill the men.
That's it.
And it's like, okay, like, plan. I mean, it'll work, but it'll work. You came in very confident.
Yeah, like you had some kind of real plan. No, I just, sure, he's the greatest spellcaster they have, and this makes sense for him, blah, 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 blah. But I think he could have done it a lot better. He also, when they're, like, learning about, you know, a handful of proper apprenticeships and stuff like that, but a lot of their beliefs about magic are often distorted by, quote, religious superstitions.
What are they?
That's
Which
crazy.
Is so interesting.
Tell us.
Come on, you can't just say it.
You can't just say
it. You
that.
Can't just say it. There is no religion.
You can't bring up the religion, the lack of religion, the new... Oh, wait, there is a little bit of folk religion. Religious misgiving. What are they?
What are they?
The
what
superstition.
Do you mean?
Superstition surrounding magic.
I need to know.
It's driving me actually up the wall.
I don't know what really gets resolved in the rest of the series.
I don't think
either.
Don't think it was.
It's just not like a major part of the book, but it shouldn't be in there.
It's funny. It was funny when it was just like, oh yeah, the unnamed and undiscussed human religion, okay. But then for him, the bit where he's like, well, I guess we didn't really have religion except for these little things. And it's like, but you knew what religion was when you went to the Dwarf Kingdom.
Yeah.
You understood their organized religion.
Maybe, I mean, he had seen it. He had seen organized religion in...
Oh, yeah, Gilead. Yeah, he'd seen the Razak cult, yeah.
So maybe he was like, this is what it's like.
But he knew that
like.
Was a cult, though.
True.
Which is a distinction that
yeah,
seems
it's not a
beyond
religion.
Him, to be
yeah,
honest.
Yeah, like, why is that distinguished as a cult if there's no religion?
Yeah.
Wait a fucking
second. It's just
second.
Like all these little puzzle pieces. It's like you're making a puzzle and there's like one little corner left and you look at all the pieces you have and they're like a completely different colour and
yeah.
You're like, well...
I guess I'll put them in
there. Just, what do I do?
Put them in the box and wait till the next puzzle comes along and see if they fit, I guess. It's messy. Also, like... The birds, the last little
the
bit of
the clouds of war equal some birds.
Yeah, yeah, the clouds of war are birds, but the birds that show up is hilarious.
Yeah,
eagles, hawks, and falcons.
No,
no, man,
no.
They simply wouldn't show up.
What do
they
have anything to do with this?
I'm sick of hunting rabbits. I think I will go circle a battlefield. Like
that hasn't even begun battling.
They're not eagles, hawks, and falcons aren't carrion birds. Yeah. Say vultures, bro.
Okay. Well, like, they're not carrion birds, important. But also, birds can't see the future.
Yeah. Yeah.
The battle hasn't happened. There's no corpses.
Like, I get it if...
Unless they can in this world, and he's even... Wasn't needed...
Yeah,
it wasn't relevant to Aragorn's story.
But the birds can see the future. I mean, like, this... It kind of makes sense. Like, you do get this kind of thing. Well, not anymore, because we don't have war like this anymore. But, like... Olden times, in places where like two big armies
enough
were missing.
People are gathering.
Yeah, and like there had recently been battles, like
yeah.
crows and ravens show up because they're smart, they can talk to each other, and they're literally like, "Yo, 6 months ago this happened, and there was a crazy amount of food afterward. Everybody gather around." The hawks, the falcons, and the eagles, I'm not sure about.
That is... And also, they haven't been having large scale battles for like 100 years.
The ravens are just old as fuck and like, oh, finally.
Oh, it says they've got experience and instinct, though.
Right.
Yeah, from what?
From what?
Yeah, not sure. I just was...
Hey, maybe it's the innate animal magic, you know?
Yeah, you're right. There's
to,
so much about this world we just don't know.
That is true. They are actually all connected in this universe.
Yeah, they can... I guess they just had dreams about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everybody go to the scary field, something really yummy's about to happen.
Imagine the like, little ravens tucked in their nest and dreaming about battlefields.
Dreaming of blood. How cute. All right. Do we want to get into the real meat of this episode, which is Aragorn's extreme racism chapters?
Oh, hell yeah.
These are crazy.
Yeah, I don't know how I want to, like, talk about them, because I've got a big chunk on my thoughts on how it's framed, and I just don't know when to say that.
Should we just...
We'll just rehash in order what... How what happens, the interactions maybe? Go, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, so, like, he goes to the pavilion...
Because he's summoned by Nasawada.
Yeah, and then the second someone even mentions Oracles by name, he felt his bloodlust rise and allowed himself a savage grin as he contemplating destroying Oracles with his new strength. Crazy thing to think, man.
Yeah.
Because there's like, a report to 100 cult.
There's some Oracles out there. Oh, do you want me to annihilate them right now? And it's like...
No, they're surrendering.
Regardless.
Yeah.
Also, Aragorn... Yeah.
Like, crazy reaction.
He has... There's nothing in the series that he hates this much.
No.
Like, even... I don't think he hates Galbatorix as much as he hates a random Urgle.
He doesn't hate Durza as much as, like, the Urgles.
He's like... I guess it's different because he is very scared of Galbatorix, but, like, every time he thinks of him, he's not like, oh, my blood is boiling, I must kill him. He's like... Ooh, that guy's kind of bad.
Yeah.
And then he just hears that these dudes are nearby and he's like, a little bit of annihilation for me. It's crazy the way he's behaving. I mean, like, it's also, I like it. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like...
But...
It's good characterization.
Okay, so you learn how to feel and appreciate every living creature around you. And you want to go and annihilate them all?
Yeah, except these guys.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
These guys who you evil. Also learn so, like, culture and society.
So, like, the ants fighting each other is devastating, but, like, you going and burning them, these guys alive is okay?
Bit of a double standard there, yeah. Eric.
Also, most of what I like from this chapter is everybody with a brain around him is telling him he's being insane. Like...
Actually, no, Jormundur is saying, Jormundur, you know what, we can kill those guys, it's okay. Fine.
But the second Jormundur is like, yeah, let's kill them, Nasawada literally leans into Aragorn and is like, your training is indeed unfinished if you are so blinded, and then goes on to it. And then, like, later, Saphira, not even later, same page, Saphira, not confronts him really, but, like, they have a brief conversation where, like, she's like, okay, you're clouded on this and you're acting stupid, and he's like, oh, they're so evil and we should kill them. Blah 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 blah. They're nothing more than vicious animals. And Saphira says the elves believe the same things about dragons during Dufern Skulblaka, which is like learning. I like the little glimpses you get.
Yeah,
of her,
she
of
took
her
away
teachings.
More from their classes.
Mm-hmm.
She's been doing their homework.
Yeah, she actually gave a shit.
All those scrolls.
Yeah, the only thing, probably before we get into your thoughts about it, because I've just got, like, little notes here and there, is that the Kull all have really strong iron mind, which is, like, pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Like, they're all, like, he tries to get into them and he has to be let in, like, later on, but the first time they come into the pavilion, he, like, tries to get to them, and he finds them all very strongly shielded, which I thought is just, like, an interesting detail.
We get a really just good up-close description of Naga's Valkyr as, like, the first Urgle we see as a person.
Yeah, it's interesting. Obviously, we're getting it from Aragorn's perspective, so it's, like, he's described still as if he's, like, a gross dude. But he seems like kind of a normal guy, to be honest. And he does a bunch of, like, cool Urgle culture stuff.
Yelling at Nasawada to say hi.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a respectful greeting.
Yeah, the bellowing. And I really like, my favourite thing that's from them that's always stuck with me is the, like, holding your head up really high is, like, a gesture of respect. Because if you're bowing, you're going to fucking kill them with your horns. I always liked that because it's, like, it clashes quite strongly with a lot of, like, I don't know, baseline human, like, I'm not looking
you
at you.
You bow for, like,
respect,
deference, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. All right, Sean, should we get into your...
Oh, no, it won't make sense unless it's after the next chapter.
Oh, okay, okey-doke.
Which is why I was saying I have thoughts, but they don't make sense to say them now.
Mm-hmm.
The Kull have a title for Nasawada.
Yes, yeah. Night Stalker, Lady Night Stalker.
Night
Stalker. Very cool. I don't know if it's all of the Kull have Iron Mind or if it's just Nargazald.
Oh,
because he's, like, cool and swag. It doesn't say for the other other three later in the other chapter.
Yeah, it doesn't mention. Interesting.
They just kind of give Aragorn permission to go through their memories and stuff.
Yeah, so he doesn't have to break in because they've given him permission.
Yeah. The other thing I thought, so, like, there's the section where Nasawad is talking to him about, so he's like, there's this bellowing thing happens and she's like, what is that? So, like, for those who aren't reading along, Urgle shows up, yells as loud as he can, as long as he can.
He ululates
for a long time at Nasawada, and she's kind of like, okay.
And there's about 100 guys in the camp that level their swords at him.
Oh, so rude. Come on, guys. And then Aragorn has to go, like, to her and be like, actually, this is normal, and this is just, like, how
people... Very respectful greeting to a war chief.
Yeah. And then she's like, so the elves taught you that?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yep. And she's like, what else did they teach you about the Urgles? And he, like, shamefully is like, a lot.
Yeah.
It's like, they taught him so, like they were literally, like...
Aramis taught him so much about Urgles.
Right, like...
specifically because this was going
to
happen.
Yeah. Like, to the point where he's, like, coming up against cultural, like, stuff that he's never experienced before, and he can go, oh, yeah, I get what that is and why this is, like, done. Mm-hmm. And he's still, his first thought when even hearing that they're there is like, ooh, I gotta get him. Ooh, I gotta kill him. It's like, you are insane, I think, a little bit.
Yeah, I like Nargazvog's minor section where he's talking about why the Urgles are ready to turn against Galbatorix, and it's because they love war, they love killing, and they do it because they need to, because they've got no, like, proper homeland. But Galbatorix, like, enslaved them and betrayed them and forced them to work for him. So,
and they're all really pissed off about the whole Durza situation.
Yeah.
Well, it's like they agreed to work for Galbatorix. They did not agree to work together across their ancient, like, hatred lines or whatever.
They
did not agree to be mind controlled.
Yeah. They did not agree for the Dark Spirit.
The fact that they sent an envoy to him to be like, why did you do this, is, like, so much better than they needed to be.
Right.
They did not need to be so good as that.
And they killed the envoy as well.
Yeah.
His broodmate.
Yeah. That's
so sad. It's like, you really didn't need to use the Dark Spirit mind control on us. We probably would have just done that shit anyway.
Yeah. I think it's weird how fine with Urgle's Nasawada is, actually.
She's a bit further forward.
It's the thing, because Aragorn is like so insanely learnt nothing from his lessons that she needs to be equally insanely pro-Urgle and peace.
Like, pragmatic, yeah.
And it's just kind of like neither of these are particularly realistic positions.
But yeah, no, I think Nasawada is definitely, she's a little too far to be believable, like, towards the just... It's okay, guys, let them in.
It's like, despite being a pragmatic leader that needs to accept alliances, this is something that seems very unexpected, and she wouldn't be so
just
forthright.
Like, the level of accepting she is like a bit too far, considering, as she points out, they killed her father pretty recently.
and she has all
of the cultural upbringing against Urgles
in the same way that Aragorn does.
And it's like, her she's so mistrustful of so many other aspects that
she hates magicians so much.
More normal in this world than, like, I don't know, the orc race from up north that you, like, never interact with.
Yeah, especially because she's presumably lived her entire life down south.
Mm.
So it's not like she's ever come across them before.
I think she's mostly lived in Cirta and then in Frothenburg.
Arshi had arrived and became lead, joined the Varden, he had baby her with him.
Yeah.
So, like, her whole life has been down here.
I don't assume she would have probably come across Urgles until, like, that big battle. Yeah, it is strange how just okay with everything she is. I mean, I'm glad she is, because...
Because someone
needed to be normal. But, like, it would have made more sense to have her maybe be upset and then have Arya in as, like, a mediator or something, because, like, she doesn't feel that way. Simply.
Arya's just, like, not in this chapter at all.
Yeah.
For no reason.
Yeah, I could have added enlightened Arya to my list. Yeah.
Well, there is a reason. She's avoiding Aragorn.
Yeah, that's a...
Well, she's quite clearly shirking some duties at this point. She should be in that room.
She should be there.
Whoopsies! No, she's gone to braid some flowers in the meadow or something. She needs to do it before every battle. It also seems that their society is matriarchal, potentially, which I thought was really interesting. Because the men are rams and the women are dams, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the Herndal are their leadership group, and they're all dams.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what Urgle culture stuff I know from Murtag and the Fork, the Witch, and the Worm, mm-hmm. and what I know from the books. So oh, I just kind of feel like I can't say much about Urgles.
Right. Oh,
yeah. Because there's lots.
That's good. It's good that they're more developed.
There's lots in those, and I don't remember what is in the book, so I don't want to, like, say a bunch, and okay, then it's, okay. like, new.
That's very fair.
Because there's distinct characters in both of those books.
Oh, awesome.
Awesome. Yeah, I think Nargasvorg comes back and is, like, a
I think he does. I remember a while ago when I was looking at the upcoming chapters, I googled it because I was like, that this is really like ringing a bell with something else. It wasn't what I was thinking of, but he had a whole wiki page, so
nice.
Yeah, I think I remember he brings his kids or something.
It probably is about at this point in the story that Urgles just become real characters. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I definitely, they're not thought of in this book that much, and then in the first one they're obviously just like, I need like a easily killable like humanoid
enemy grunt
thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why this feels a little bit abrupt.
It's very abrupt.
Yeah.
Yeah. It feels a bit, considering these are the last like five chapters, it feels a bit tacked on.
Yeah.
But I'm at least glad that it could be a conversation that Aragorn's having with himself in this book and not in the, like, what was supposed, was it supposed to be a
supposed to be a trilogy.
Yeah, so from trilogy to a cycle. That's a thing, right?
Like, I'd rather be having this like conflict in himself in this book than what was supposed to be the third book of a trilogy.
Because that would probably take up a fair chunk of the remaining story.
Yeah, exactly. And also, just like, it's better to have him be less of a shithead now than later.
Yeah.
Simple.
And it's convenient for the final battle of the book.
Yay! Some 8-foot-tall guys to fight for us.
Yay.
There is one of Galbatorix's envoys comes over and says, "You didn't surrender. Now we're at war." And Sephira kills him.
Kind of. She scares his horse.
Yeah.
She scares
and then horse. He falls over and this dies.
Falls in a ravine.
This was number one of two of good thing they don't have a Geneva Convention.
Yes.
Because, yeah, killing messengers is bad, right?
Yeah.
Classic don't shoot the messenger type.
Don't make him fall into a fire pit.
What does she do?
She
scares his horse.
She roars really loud and the horse, like, bucks him into a fire hole.
Mm.
And then he burns to death.
Yes, the soldier was thrown free of the horse and landed in a gout of fire that erupted at that very instant. He uttered a single cry so horrible it made Aragorn's scalp prickle and then was silent and still forevermore. Awesome.
Mm.
And everyone's cheering and screaming and clapping.
Yay.
Yeah, it's not... That's the one of being like, we should not kill him. It's so not cool to injure or attack envoys. And then letting out a small smile after that. And it's like, come on.
You know the rules.
Sephira should be hugely in trouble.
Yeah. Like, that was intentional. She didn't, like, physically knock him off the horse, but it's what she wanted to happen.
Yeah. It's like, she killed that guy, guys. Well, to be fair, she is a dragon, and she wants to eat people.
She didn't even eat him, though.
I know.
So sad.
She mostly wants to set people on fire, I think.
Yeah.
Good for you, Sarah. So like,
it's a great place for her to hand. Be. Likely place for dragon to be. All right, should we hoon on through to Witch's Brew?
Oh, speaking of war crimes.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, get number two.
Well, not
first of all,
right
we need
end.
To talk yeah. about the cull.
Yes. I like them. I like them a
I
lot.
I like them a lot.
Orica's
going to hang out with Aragorn and he's brooding in the corner of camp or something.
He also knows that the Urgles have shown up at this point and he is, like, walking around with his Urgelhorn bow on purpose.
Yeah.
That's some sicko stuff, dude.
Fucked up thing for Auric to do.
Yeah.
Fucked up thing for him to have, which we've discussed at length. But like,
also, he is carrying it around in his hand strung, even though it has a case.
Like, right. Pointedly, yeah.
Yeah, I think...
You shouldn't carry around bows strung
come
like
on,
that.
Come on, little man. It's not right.
None of it's right. None of it's good.
This carrying around bow strung thing also comes up with Aragorn doing it as well. Oh, I think with the elven bow.
Well, his elven bow has a quiver that can hold his arrows and his strung bow.
Yeah, this which it shouldn't, but that's just okay.
It's elven magic.
Elven so I guess magic. It's okay. Whatever.
It's the bowstring will never get worn out. It's fine.
They sang to that too.
Yeah, yeah. It's made out of like tree sinew or something.
They invented a new tree material.
Okay, so he's hanging out with Auric, and Auric is chilling, mostly. But, like,
when he's like, oh, thank you for coming along, what brings you here? Oryx says, it struck me you might appreciate a spot of company in this grim night. Especially since Arya's otherwise engaged, and you don't have Murtagh with you for this battle.
This was insane. This was so insane because it's like, obviously, we've all read these books before, we know what's happening. But like, if you don't, this is out of nowhere. He hasn't thought about Murtagh in like 400 pages.
And he's twisting the knife like crazy as well. Like,
and also Aragorn's being like, ah, oh, old friend. It's like, you guys knew each other for like maybe 2 months maximum.
So hey, it was a lot can happen in war. It was really close 2 months, you know?
Yeah, driving across that desert.
Speaking of war, that's where Murtagh was killed.
But just apart from making us remember Murtagh exists, yeah, which we're going to need for, it's a secret tool that will help us later.
Yeah,
like,
you need to remember. Oryx, why did you do this?
Yeah,
Oryx, why would you say this to
him? It's like they had one battle where Aragorn and Murtagh were both in play, and they weren't together. During or before that battle.
No, Oryx was there with him before that battle as well. Yeah,
Murtagh was not. Aragorn found out Murtagh was allowed to fight, and they didn't see each other.
Yeah, like very pointedly. They may have seen him
on the battlefield, but not before, you know?
Yeah.
He doesn't have beautiful memories of like stringing his bow together with Murtagh before 1,000 battles.
Did he see Murtagh after the battle, or did he just go into that hole and die?
No, I think he did see him.
He saw him get captured.
No, they didn't see him because it was.
No, they saw Arya die.
Because he was. It was when they were. The battle was over, and it was like the next day or something where Arya was like, "We're gonna go hunt the Urghulls in the tunnels.
Yeah.
I'm taking the twins and Murtagh and some random nameless guys. Mm-hmm. Off we go."
Thumbs up. It's gonna go great, guys.
Yeah, and I think that
Murtagh. Like, yeah. To this day, why did he take
that? Why did he do that? I think he volunteered, maybe. Mm. But yeah, so they got, like, killed in one of the tunnels, and Arya had, like, got part of the way out before they killed him.
Yeah. Man.
Man. And stripped nude.
Yeah, they did take all his clothes.
Why'd they do that?
Just so you weirdos. Know. We took his body, but you can keep all of his items. Like, that's the opposite.
love to keep his body. You can have his stuff, I guess.
If you're playing, it's like if you're playing a video game and it's like loot corpse, like, hell yeah, and you pick up the naked corpse and leave everything on the ground. Like, you don't do that.
I'll be looting this corpse.
Oh, yeah, I'm looting the corpse. Oh, okay. Loot sword, loot cup, loot.
It's insane.
Loot coin.
Oh, it's not worth it. Leave it all behind.
Oh, God. And then, I guess Angela shows back up.
Oh, yeah. Angela and Solomon walk past. Sorry,
really quickly, though. Aragorn smiles and says, "I'm glad you came," and the tip of Oryx's nose reddens. Aww. And he glances down, rolling his bow between his gnarled hands. Ah, well.
That's cute. I do like them. As many problems as they have, I do like them. Sorry, I paused there for a second because I was looking down at my book, and it says he woke Oryx, and I just read woke Oryx, and I was like,
hey, if only.
Oh my God, Oryx.
If only.
Well, he seems like he's pretty woke for the general populace.
He's like,
I don't like that the Urghulls are here, but I agree that it's the right choice, and that's a lot better than most of the people here. Yeah,
who are like baying for blood.
Yeah, that seems to be a pretty woke idea.
Maybe we found him. Woke Oryx.
It's all Mum and Angela are here.
Oh, yes.
And they're being so shifty. One of my notes for this was like, they're so shifty every time they're ever there, and it must have been so funny for Angela Paolini to read this for the first time.
Why'd you make me so scary, dude? Why'd you make me so creepy sneaky?
Why didn't you make me cast dysentery on them?
It's worse than dysentery.
It is, but...
I'm happy that they are at exactly the position that she used to get back into the camp, though. That's nice. What is,
How often have we seen Solombom as a guy instead of a cat?
Like, we've 50, seen 50. Him as a wee boy before.
Yeah.
She does... He appeared turn in, like, into a nude child at one point.
and she like gets a loincloth out of her bag and gives it to him.
I think it's more than a loincloth. It's like a little outfit, isn't it?
Sorry, a tunic and breeches.
Yeah.
Oh. And his knife.
A snazzy little fit.
I'm so sorry. I guess I was just envisioning him as a loincloth type of guy.
Yeah, I don't think I see him as like a tunic and breeches kind of guy.
No,
though.
Right? I feel like he should just be in like one of those, like, I don't know, Egyptian peasant outfits, like 24/7. Which is, I think, just a loincloth. Maybe some sandals. He needs sandals.
He has sandals.
He should but have sandals.
Angela can't just be carrying around sandals. No. Children's sandals with her at all times.
No, she could, like, carabiner them onto the bag, you know?
Have them flopping around.
Solomon can hold his own sandals.
Not when he's a cat.
They're just, like, in his mouth.
He'd never stoop so low.
No, he wouldn't.
There's less room for an alive mouse, then. I do like that she completely refuses to tell them what she was doing over there. Aragorn literally says, "I think you better tell us." And she goes, "No."
Ooh. Don't you trust us? Not really. Good. Funny exchange.
It is good. And she's like, "La la la, it's a surprise." It's like, "Well, we all saw you in your poison tent, Angela." So I think we know what's coming.
I'll take you to Nasawada. Then Angela says, "No, Nasawada told me I'm allowed to do this."
Just like the fakest sounding thing ever.
Probably,
but seemingly true.
Well, Nasawada materializes from the darkness to tell them off and tell them it was okay. Yeah. So. And now she's brought the cull along with her. Yes, I see. I did get my timeline severely mixed up in the summary.
Yeah,
sorry.
There's four of them now, but before it was
just ten.
It's Gosfog, the narration starts saying just Gosfog, but like, is that correct? Should he be Nargosfog?
Well, Nar seems to be a title.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's very inconsistent with King Arryn as well. Sometimes he's King Arryn and sometimes he's just Arryn.
Yeah.
Depends how familiar the author's feeling with that character.
Yeah, like, yeah, it depends how familiar the narrative voice is feeling. I was in the same page last chapter. He was King Arryn and Arryn.
Huh.
Nasawada sneaks up and Auric was not so composed. He jumped back with a mighty oath, grasping his war axe.
Love that.
Fuck!
Fuck! We're under attack.
But he, yeah.
Very, the common tongue does not have enough swear words for this.
Yeah, he's swearing in Dwarvish, definitely. Yeah. But I love
Angela
him.
Speaks Urgle.
Yeah.
Yes, sure, love that.
They're delighted by it.
Yeah. Well.
They're like, yay, I love this weird woman.
Yeah, I like this woman who's treating me normal. Or just like, yeah, even having Nasawada in the previous chapters be wary and maybe have Angela just there and be like, it's okay.
God, Angela was too busy doing
crimes.
But
Angela's not like...
She's not an advisor, really.
She's not an advisor. She pretty distinctly doesn't want to be one.
Mm.
So...
She mostly just wants to make her potions and poison.
She wants to do as she wishes it when she wishes.
And she's doing a great job of that.
Sure is.
Okay, so we're getting through to the section where they go into their mine.
This is where Nasawada pulls Aragorn aside and says, "I need you to judge what I'm about to tell you with logic and reason." Which is a hilarious
so
thing
funny.
To say.
Mm-hmm.
But she's also naming him as her successor.
Yes, which is crazy. Well, no, it's smart, but like, for him, that's big.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, like, does he even really want to?
No.
No, he doesn't want to at all. No. He's, like, barely
She's pretty acknowledging that as well. Just like, I can't leave it to anyone else.
Yeah, I guess if he was Jormungandr, it's over, and then the rest of the council were just, like, useless people. So.
I think the rest of the council would eat Jormungandr if he was in control.
Yeah, into steaks and chops. Be awful. Yes.
So, Aragorn is granted permission to enter the minds of the four Kull and kind of see what's going on there and search for deceit and betrayal.
Sorry. Actually, this isn't, is it in the other order? She says, like, we are relying almost entirely on you to win this. And he's like, yeah, I know, it's going to be me and Saphira. And she's like, yeah, which is why I've organized this cool new honor party for you. Treat this with logic and reason. They talk about that, and then she says, "You're my successor." After that.
Oh yeah.
That's like right at the end of their conversation before they go back to talk to everyone else. By the way, you're the next. If I die today, you're the next leader of the party.
And he goes, so you're not allowed to die. I'm kind of allowed to, but only if you don't die.
Why did she is this like in writing somewhere, or is she just like?
I hope so.
If she says this she just to Aragorn,
it down somewhere.
Yeah, and there's then no dies, way
you can back that up, you know.
And he's like, she said it was me, and everyone's gonna be like, well, you would just want it because you're a writer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's gonna be a nightmare. Nasuwada, please, wars of succession never work out well.
Well, I think as we've discussed in previous episodes, Nasuwada's approach to succession planning is really poor, consistently and forever.
That is true. I just don't think she thinks she's ever going to die. Like, deep down in her heart, you know?
Yeah, I think it's like she's very happy to talk about the events that will happen if she dies, but it's like a pretty big if in her mind.
Yeah.
No intention.
It's not a when I die.
That's it. Maybe I'll never die because I'm special.
Maybe I'll never die because I'm 19.
No, there you go. Oh, that's the thing.
Yeah, she's
indestructible. She's also 19.
She's indestructible.
Approximately, yeah. Oh,
she's at the oldest 20 years old.
No.
Nasuwada.
So, yeah, which is why she's like, I can leave the bar to the 17-year-old.
It'll be fine.
It's not that different.
He's equally indestructible as me.
Oh, it's so fucking bad.
So good.
Not that I want her to die, I heart women or whatever, but I would love to see what would happen if she did.
Yeah, I'd love to see.
Alternate history.
Chaos.
I mean, Galathorin
would last long. Just win.
Yeah, yeah, the Varden would simply fall into chaos.
It'd
and it would be
pretty bad,
over.
But, you know.
Might be entertaining.
Might be a little funny. Oh god, okay.
I love when they're talking while she's urging him to think with logic and reason about the Urkels. She says, at least ask Saphira's opinion before you say yay or nay. I can order you to accept the Urkel's protection, but I'd rather not. You're being foolish, observes Saphira without prompting. You don't even need to ask for my opinion.
Yeah, she's
I'll
like,
tell you dumb shit.
She's the whole way through this, like, just kind of mad, like, yeah. About how stupid
she's like, this is going to be okay, just she's let like, it happen.
Yeah, just grow up, dude.
Grow
she's
up.
Literally like, think about Aramis and his teachings.
Yeah.
He can't be right all the time. He's been right every other time.
He's right this time,
punching
specifically.
You.
When has he been wrong?
He's been right every single time.
Every
gonna
time.
I'm going to light you on fire.
Yeah.
What is it? You know what Aramis would do, and you know what he would say. Don't you trust his judgment? He can't be right about everything, said Aragorn. That's no argument. Search yourself, Aragorn, and tell me whether I speak the truth. And he's like, I guess you're right, like, so mad.
And then he's like, okay, I'll do it, but only if you promise that after this battle, I never have to work with an Urgal again. And Nasuhar's like, I'm not gonna promise that, are you crazy?
He's like, oh, fine, I guess I'll just do
fine,
it.
Yeah,
fine, I wasn't actually willing to negotiate.
I love how often this happens for him, where he's like, I'll only do it if you do this for me, and people go, no, and he's like, I guess I'll do it anyway.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I really wasn't prepared to not do it.
Well, I tried.
That's great. And then, okay.
And then she says, you're my successor.
Yes.
Yep.
Sorry, I thought we were getting right into their minds because I read a line wrong, but we're not just yet. They also call him Fire Sword, which is
yeah.
So
very
cute.
Cool.
Why do they call him... Has he done Fire Sword?
Yeah, he did it in Valinor.
Did he? I don't
did
remember.
He?
I think so.
Or is it just because the sword's red?
Maybe.
It could be.
I don't think he does Fire Sword
yeah,
until he gets
thinking, like,
Fire Sword.
Yeah, because I was thinking like
oh,
it
no, he doesn't
becomes
do Fire Sword,
like
yeah.
a classic Aragonism.
Yeah, but he hasn't.
But I don't think that he has used fire on a sword.
No,
he's
hasn't.
Used it on an arrow. But everyone there died, so they wouldn't know about that.
Yes, I think it is just because his sword is the color of fire, and
it's just
shiny.
A little bit confusing because Saphira is like flame tongue or whatever. But that's just because she's a dragon. She's not related to each other.
Don't worry about it, guys. These nicknames are different.
Yeah.
This is about the point where we've run out of Urkel nicknames. And
yeah. I think he hears Fire Sword and goes, fire.
Good idea.
Sure. I'll hold on to that one.
This is a secret trick that'll help us out later. It's good.
I love he's so baffled by them being grateful to him. It's like you freed them from like immense mind control by like the most evil being in the world.
Mm.
And you're so shocked that they're like, my god, thanks.
Thank you so much for killing the devil that was possessing us. Like, yeah.
Yeah, of course they're pretty pleased with that.
Aragorn says, I killed so many Uruguls. Like, yeah, me too.
Yeah,
hell
yeah.
It's just like, he's so racist, he can't even conceive of them having positive feelings towards someone.
Yeah.
No, because he straight up says, to him, they were feral beasts that would kill him as soon as not, and were incapable of love, kindness, or even true intelligence. In short, they were lesser beings.
That's a crazy thing to
say. Deep within his mind, Zephira whispered, I'm sure Galbatorix is of the same opinion.
And he says, and for good reason.
Yeah.
This Aragorn!
This is part of, like, because basically he goes in their minds and then he changes his mind. He's like, actually, they are people and are okay, and I... whatever.
Yeah.
But my whole little, like, multi-paragraph note screed is, like, this is an insane, it's like, heel turn, decision, change of opinion.
Yeah.
And it would make way more sense if all of Oromus's teachings had some kind of influence on him.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that he heard there were Urgals coming and had been conflicted about that up until this point where he changed his opinion to be, like, actually, they are cool. Instead of all of the very intentional teachings about how the Urgals are not mere beasts and evil has had literally no impact on me.
Mm.
And then Nasawada could have been in a slightly more centrist position as well, yeah, instead of, like, the bizarrely enlightened Urgal lover.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I do like it in that he's so bullheaded and just, like, I like it as a trait for him, but it would have made much more sense for him to actually listen to anything anyone's ever said to him.
It's just kind of like, it doesn't go with all of his, the whole book where he's been learning to, yeah, be literally open-minded. Like, that's the whole point of all of his training. He's literally opened his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And yet...
Yeah, and this is, like, he can't get past it.
And he's bringing up the teaching specifically, like, oh, I know all these things about the society, but they're still animals.
But they are beasts and have no true intelligence. It's like, you know about their society. They talk to you.
Yeah. Like, you just know this isn't true. Which is, like, I don't know, in a smarter...
I just think
it could have been, like,
it can't wait. The flip can't happen in 1.5 chapters.
Yeah.
Yes,
it needed more time.
Much more time. And like, in a smarter book, it could have been, like, deliberately being, like, well, showing cognitive dissonance or whatever, that he's like, mm-hmm, I know these things, but I know this is true, but I still believe,
yeah,
this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is, like, an emotional belief that doesn't have any grounding in reality. And that's, like, an interesting position you can put a character in. But having him be like, I know all this and I still believe this, but, like, not thinking about it.
And, like, they're completely
all
separate things.
And, yeah, mm-hmm, like, he... Aramis's teachings don't seem to... They're not presented as, this is true and real and you're, like, being reactionary and insane for still believing this, like, negative whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just like, I learned this, but I am ignoring it. And it's like, okay. Okay.
I learned this for exposition only.
Yeah, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I can definitely see what it's trying to go for, but
yeah,
it's too short of a period.
It's just too short. It happened too late.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you don't want to drag out the pre-war bit either.
After, yeah, bringing up that there is war on,
like,
the horizon.
Like, it's so imminent. Like, both parties are at the battlefield. And having the Urgals arrive earlier than that won't work, because you need to know how extremely outnumbered they are for everyone to be desperate enough to agree to have them, mm-hmm, fight with them. But he's so insane, and then he's chill.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he's just fully chill.
Yeah, this simply just can't happen in the space of 2 chapters. It's not enough at all.
It doesn't even, like, the first chapter where Nargazov turns up doesn't even influence his opinions at all. It all happens in that one chapter.
Yeah. Oh, actually, no, you're right.
When he gets 1.5 pages of, like, speed factoids about Urgals.
Yeah, of, like, seeing this guy's mum comb his hair or something.
Yeah.
Okay, you seem fine.
It's like, oh, you guys are people.
Oh, you have a house? Oh. That's cool.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. Yeah,
like, you
it's
could just, know this. Yeah. You do know this.
It's just, if he wanted it to be this fast, it needed to be less extreme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It needed to have been his previous learnings actually influenced him.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Or it just,
it's not that big of a deal, but it's just like...
Or it needed to be more of a focus over time.
He's been so enlightened Aragorn for so long, he can't just go back immediately to as if he'd never been with the elves.
Yeah,
because this could be like such an area of fun development.
Yeah.
Because on every single other thing, especially after coming to this, like, to Serta. He's been so, like, elf-pilled, like, walking around, like, oh, yes, all of sanctity, blah. And it's just, like, this is such a bizarre hang-up after everything else that he's, mm-hmm. like, felt strongly about has, like, changed over time. I don't know. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Odd. Yeah.
Badly done. It's odd. It's weird. Odd. This is... The pacing in this book has been good, except this is weird.
Yes. But I'm glad... Hey, I'm glad he gets the magic spell that stops you from being racist. He gets, like, a super empathy or whatever.
It's nice. It's kind of, like, not cool that he's just like, well, there's no way I could ever convince Auric that they're cool.
Right. Just leave that. That's lazy.
You can have a go, Aragorn.
Like, maybe, yeah. I get that maybe right now in the heat of, like, right before maybe, war's maybe not the right time. Now,
but, like, come on, man.
But you need to be prepared to have one difficult conversation with your friend, man.
And they're about to, like, fight alongside each other.
Exactly.
As equal honor guard. Yeah. Right, like, next to each other.
Right next to each other. And Auric's like, don't worry, I've got your back. The second they try anything funny, all of us dwarves will rip them to shreds. And it's like, don't do that.
They're not going to try anything funny. That's the point. I do like that he, when he's done, he's like, oh, this guy's literally a prince and is way smarter than mm-hmm. me.
Yeah.
Which is, like, a nice little dunk on him mm-hmm. for his bad behavior.
Yeah.
But it's still, meh.
I really love the way the Cull are, and this is, I think, the first time we get mention of, like, the specifics of mm-hmm. them.
Yeah.
And it's just cool. I like it. It's cool. And well, I like
you just
it.
Get born in one day and you keep getting big.
You keep growing.
You know, it's like they think of it as still having the old blood flowing through their yeah. veins. Mm. And, like, you have your, like, normal baby and he just, like, gets big and strong. And it's like, hell yeah.
My baby rocks.
He's a warrior.
Yeah. Because normal Urgles are just normal size, right?
I think they might be, like, kind of big, but they're not 8 foot tall.
No, yeah. They're not gigantic. And with the horns, he's, like, 10 yeah. feet tall or some shit.
So sick.
Aragorn, in the chapter where he turns up, he does get a little bit of typical Aragorn describing a man poisoning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is, he's really sexy.
It always sort the bullet points of how hot this guy is.
He does have beautiful hair.
We get to hear about his physique.
Frequently we hear about the physiques, yeah.
He was a magnificent specimen, 8.5 feet tall, with strong, proud, if grotesque features, thick horns that spiralled all the way around, and fantastic musculature that made it seem as if he could kill a bear with a single blow. His only clothing was a knotted loincloth, a few plates of crude iron armour held together with scraps of mail, and a curved metal disc nestled between his two horns to protect the top of his head. His long black hair was a new queue.
Gay ass.
Aragorn, I know what you are.
Why you have his fantastic musculature like that? He's like, I hate this guy.
I hate him. And I hate his rippling, gleaming,
oiled up, bouncing pecs. I hate them.
Barking in his mind.
Oh god. And yeah, the last little cull bit that we really get is when they're sitting back to back chanting death songs under their breath. Love that for their love battle prep. That. So good.
Yeah.
And Angela then puts her awesome armor on and her extremely blasphemous weapon together.
All the dwarves are really upset about
they're
it.
They're very upset.
Yeah. I mean, rightly so. It's like a religious symbol. She's stolen it.
There's no real religious weapons out there in our world, is there? That's sad.
There's like...
There must be. I'm not an expert on anything. No, neither.
It's like somebody picking up that thing you carry into church with a cross on the end of it and just, like, whacking
the pontifex?
The pontifex.
But there are lots of those, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are lots and lots of those.
Well, it's the same thing,
but you aren't
right?
supposed to harm people with them.
Well, this is a sword stuff. I think
hey,
it's
I'm grasping for connection here. I can't bring it together.
I'm sure, like, knights had holy swords.
Probably.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. That only they were allowed to use. Do twin blades suck in real life? Is that why no one uses them?
I don't know.
Because they're kind of awesome.
They're in, like, Chinese martial arts, but they're very flashy and for show and probably, like, inefficient.
Yeah, I feel like you'd cut your own leg off really easily.
Yeah, you'd just cut the guys around you.
Mm-hmm.
look out.
Well, yeah, it's like why a spear is so good, because you can teach anyone to just
jab someone with a stick. Front of you.
Yeah, but if you try that with this
with a twin blade,
you
might stab yourself.
You might get pushed a little bit and it's all over.
And if you're holding it under your arm, the guy behind you's fucked. Yeah, I can see why they don't want these out on the battlefield.
They're also like very flourishy and spinny, so you can't have anyone like within a meter radius of you. Yeah. You're in danger.
I just, Angela, it just doesn't seem very useful.
No.
No. What's next is very useful. Yeah. Thank you, Angela.
Well, I guess it's her and Solomon go onto the battlefield apparently with that and a little dagger.
he literally just has like a little black dagger and he's like,
he's just a little boy with a dagger.
Solomon, yeah. I don't think you should be on the battlefield.
He's grown.
I guess. He's like an adult, right?
He is an adult. He just like is.
He just looks appears. Like
that. Turns into a little boy.
It's not like he chooses that. That's how he looks.
Sorry, man.
Just a weird thing.
Sorry. I'm pretty sure. I think they're always small.
Yeah.
I think that when it got described like properly, it's not so much that they really look like a child, they're just that size.
Mm. That
makes
sense.
Which is freaky.
Oh, the gnome lover has decided.
No, Eragon says it's freaky.
I see.
That the werecats are like icky.
Well, I don't trust his judgment on how people are, frankly.
Actually, I don't remember if Maud the werecat is described as like adult size or if just Maud is an old person's name.
I think she's small.
Yeah.
Do we see her as an human form?
Yeah, I don't think we saw her. I can't remember if we saw her as a cat or not.
Yeah, can't control her for physical book, not doing it.
Maud is just kind of like a geriatric name to me, so that is the image.
I just pictured her as a very small person with a lot of white hair.
Yeah.
I'm going to try a real quick wiki search.
Okay, go fast while we talk about Angela's war crime.
Yes. That was point number two on my list.
Angela has really badly poisoned much of the enemy army.
So much of it.
It was near dawn when the cries began. Aragorn and Saphira noticed them first because of their heightened senses, but the agonized screams were soon loud enough for the others to hear. Rising to his feet, Auric looked out towards the Empire, where the cacophony originated. What manner of creature are they torturing to extract such fearsome howls? Like, she hasn't just, like, normal poisoned them. She's super poisoned them.
At least she seems to feel, like, a little bad for this. Former chair had deserted her. She looked pale, drawn, and grey in the face, as if she were ill.
Yeah, I mean, she's just killed thousands of people.
Yeah, she's very, like, this is so terrible, but I had to do it. It's like...
I guess.
I can't quite agree with you.
She's sprinting around.
I get
so
what
gleefully.
You're after.
We're like really outnumbered. I guess this is okay to do. Yeah, it's the war crimes with a little star next to them that you can do if the enemy has like 98,000 more people than you do. Then it's fine.
Yeah. My wiki search was extremely helpful because apparently we only see her in her humanish form.
Ooh.
Where she has a face described as creased and lined like a dry withered apple and described as a woman child as she is small.
Okay, so they're just small.
Okay.
Interesting.
Angela last night was like, ooh-hoo, I'm fighting my own battle. I'm fighting so war in my own way.
You'll find out soon.
Me reaping, me sowing.
Oh god, I killed all those people.
Oh my gosh, it worked.
Maybe she just didn't expect it to hurt them this much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's various toxins, actually.
Yeah, some will die now, some will die later.
And some will have hallucinations.
Yeah, she's poisoned the officers so that they hallucinate in battle, which is hilarious. You could have just killed those guys.
Yeah. So before that happens, they're sitting around in their little, like, you know, main character circle or whatever, listening to the discordant music of the dwarves honing their blades.
Oh, that's so annoying.
Like, I get so mad if I had to listen to that.
I'm sure we talked about this specifically last book, the last time this happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the dwarves like to sit together and sharpen their blades,
but
they don't really think about
how loud it is. I wouldn't manage.
They're not considering the peace of the whole camp.
No, yeah.
I would just be like, I know you're my honor guard, but I'm having a meltdown.
I need to shut the fuck up right now. I don't care if your ex is sharp, go to bed. It's over.
Auric calls Angela a coward and a thief.
Mm-hmm.
There's no glory.
And this isn't a time for glory.
Yeah, literally. No, she's like, I don't care.
I don't care.
I don't care about glory at all.
You can go kill everyone else.
Oh, and that's why she was in Orin's tent.
Yeah.
Distilling her toxins all night.
Distilling her toxins in his chemistry lab.
That's so good.
Insane.
But yeah, he's just sitting there, and it's like, what has she poisoned them with that they're not just like getting a fever or shitting their brains out and dying? They're all screaming in pain.
Yeah. I think they are shitting this. Shitting themselves dead.
God, they're shitting themselves open.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Their latrines are just suspiciously close to their front lines. No. Christ.
God.
Yeah, he doesn't like it.
And
he makes himself listen, saying like, well, if we're doing war crimes, I better pay attention to the war
crimes. Sits in a really deranged fashion as well. So he sat with his hands clenched into fists and his jaw forming painful knots while the burning plains echoed with the disembodied voices of dying men. So he's just like sitting there clenched.
I would have just cast a spell so I didn't have to hear it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I certainly would not be intentionally listening to it.
No.
No.
I imagine I would have to hear it no matter what, but I wouldn't be doing it on purpose.
Not like active
like
listening.
Extra listening.
His senses are really good. He's hearing yeah. each guy die.
Oh god.
His little pointy ears are picking up on all of this.
No.
Ears are getting pricked. I would make a quiet spell and turn off my mind reading simply.
Yeah, I would let Auric call me a coward and
So, looking forward to...
Simply not cut out for this shit.
No way. I just wouldn't go to war, I don't think, actually. Yeah, looking forward to... Is it our final couple of chapters next week?
We have two more episodes.
Okay.
So, one set of three and then one set of two, but they're, like, the same length.
Yeah. For our penultimate, we've got Nick bringing us in.
Yeah, I've got The Storm Breaks, Convergence, and Eldest.
Ooh,
like the book.
Like the book.
The Geysms is good. And then Inheritance and Reunion.
Yeah. Ooh. And Reunion is quite long to end out the book.
Yeah.
Oh, holy shit, it's like 20 chapters. Pages.
20 pages.
Yeah,
oh my god, 20 more chapters?
Yeah, it's like...
Yippee!
It's like those three chapters and then those two have the exact same total page length.
Oh, that's all good then. I was a little worried about having two.
Yeah, I was a little concerned, but then I went and looked. Looked at my beautiful spreadsheet that the viewers can never see because it's boring, but it's gorgeous and color-coded.
She's beautiful to me, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's all good. Okay. We'll have something similar next book as well.
Wonderful. Awesome. That's really very exciting to look forward to.
I want to read this battle.
Oh my god, so excited for the battle.
Fighting.
Alright, thank you guys so much for listening. You can find us on Twitter, Reddit, gmail.com, Tumblr, at E is for Dragon. Rate the comment. I'm going to kill myself.
Comment, subscribe.
Rate the podcast, subscribe to the podcast, comment on the podcast, leave us a review, anything you like. Big ups, boys. We'll catch you for the battle next week.
We're almost there.
Yippee!
Bye.
Bye.